Well, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
Great.
Woo! Is it good to be here? If those stories don't fire you up, nothing will. We've been baptizing people all day and hearing the stories of how they met Jesus and their lives are changed. Let's celebrate one more time what God has done in their lives. Amen. That is what we are all about, seeing people's lives changed here at Grace Church. You're here on a good morning. If you're a guest with us, thanks for being here. We're in a series called Real Hope, and we're talking about where you find real hope. And today, specifically, we're talking about families. And all of us, in one way or another, are a part of a family. And families can be a little difficult, can't they? As you think about the next couple of weeks and getting together with your family over the holidays, you might be looking forward to that and excited, or maybe you're like, oh boy, here it goes again, right? Same stories and same drama going on and on and on. But families are difficult to see hope sometimes because there's relationships, and relationships are challenging. They can be fractured, and they can really mess things up and make us feel hopeless. Well, today we're going to find out how to have real hope in our family. And our Grace Kids Director, Tim Boucher, is going to share the message with us. He teaches our students and our kids every week here. My family has benefited from his ministry in their lives. My kids love his teaching, and I hope you are taking advantage of that teaching in your family as well every week. So let's give it up one more time for Tim Boucher. Take it home, baby.
All right, well, it is great to be here, and just know, parents, there are people watching your kids, and they're doing more than that. They're sharing Jesus with them, so we're very excited to be up here. But as we think about real hope for the family, I always have to start with a story, and I'm going all the way back to when I was 10 years old, and we used to go up to a camp called Stony Glen Camp near Cleveland, and we had a family, the Smiths, that we became really good friends with up there. And I'll never forget this day, because we decided to go out for a hike, and man, we were excited to go on this hike. I mean, 10-year-old boy out in creation, what path can you go off of? What tree can you climb? What can you try to throw at someone? No one would do that, though, would they? You wouldn't dare do that. But anyway, so we start off on this hike, and Mr. Smith's leading us, and we're running around, and we're going all over the place, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're walking, and we're having fun. And I don't know if we climbed trees, or you got those vines that you're swinging on, or whatever all else that we were doing, but it was great. But you know, we started to notice something, and that's the sun was starting to set. And so, being the good kid that I was, because I was pretty amazing as a child, I'm sure. My parents aren't here. I can say whatever I want. And you know, I just kind of say, hey, Mr. Smith. And he said, what? And I said, how much longer? Sun's setting, you know, how much longer? And he said, oh, it's just around the bend. So we continued to walk, and we got around the next bend, and we're still going. And, you know, your legs are getting tired. You're starting to get hungry. We went around the next bend, and we kept going. And I'm like, Mr. Smith. And he said, what? And I said, how much longer? And he said, it's around the next bend. So we kept going, and we went around. And it was about this time that we realized Mr. Smith had no idea where we were. We were completely lost. I mean, we were going after bend after bend after bend. My stomach is killing me. All I want to do is eat. And it was like, you know, we were feeling completely hopeless. And I think in this story, by the way, we found our way, if you can't tell, because I'm here this morning. Thank you for paying attention to that. Thank you. You laughed a little bit. That's good. I like that. 11:30, you're awake. Awesome. So we get done with this story, and I think, man, we have hopelessness in our lives. It's probably not just being out on a walk where we're walking around hopeless. It's probably more in our family. That some of us probably have situations where we're like, you know what? I don't even know if I should pray anymore. Because maybe it's your spouse and there's a relationship that's broken there. Or maybe you've already been through a divorce. Or maybe you're single and you look at your parents and you think, man, I just wish that they would choose to follow Jesus. It'd be so much better for them. Or some of us are parents and our kids are struggling. And we think, is there really hope? And I want to say this morning that I believe there is. And when we dig into the scripture, I believe that God can give us hope for the family. So if you'd grab your Bible or turn it on and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to start things off, as Paul gives us some real hope for the family. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says this: wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. of which he is the Savior. It helps when you can actually read, right? Do you ever have that happen? You start to read and then you stumble through the words. Of which he is the Savior. Now, as much as we submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without wrinkle or stain or any other wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Ephesians chapter 5, is there real hope? And some of you are thinking, you know, Tim, really? I mean, really, with everything going on in our country and maybe everything going on in your life, I'm going to take you to Ephesians 5, and we're going to talk about husbands and wives to start with. And the answer is, well, yes, that's exactly where we're going. But what you have to remember is this. In the Bible, we always just can't read one section. We need to make sure we get the context around what's happening. And if you go back a few verses, we grab some context for this that I think is vitally important. And in Ephesians 5 verse 18, it says, don't get drunk with wine, which, by the way, is a really good plan. That's not part of this message. That's for free today, all right? But don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. If we're going to have real hope for the family, then it starts in me. Real hope for the family starts in me. If you grab your worship program, I'd write that down. Real hope for the family starts in me. It starts in my own heart. It starts with who I am. And I imagine some of us aren't even sure, are we truly following Jesus yet? Have we truly made a choice to follow him? And that's what, when we go back to our scripture, it says, instead, being filled with the Spirit, my question to you this morning is, have you made that choice yet? To say, I'm going to follow Jesus, to say that real hope for the family starts in me when I choose Jesus, when I choose to follow him. It doesn't start with my marriage. It doesn't start with me as a teenager that my kids or my parents are following Jesus. It doesn't start with us as parents if our country is going the way that we want it to. Real hope for the family starts in my heart when I choose to follow Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say these words. It says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe it in our hearts, we will be saved. Have you done that? I mean, if you really want hope for your family, then it's got to start with the first step. And the first step is choosing Jesus. The first step is saying, I'm going to make the choice to follow him. And I'm going to walk with him. And a little later in the service, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you haven't yet, to make that choice to say, you know what? I want real hope for the family. And I want it to start in me by choosing Jesus. But if you look back at our verse, you'll notice that it says something else. It says, be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. When we have real hope for the family, number one, first and foremost, without a doubt, the truth is, we need to make sure we choose Jesus. The other step to this, though, is making sure that we're being guided by the Spirit. Real hope, it starts in me when I choose Jesus and when I allow his Spirit to work in my life. You know, sometimes we don't feel good, right? You get a little indigestion, and some of you are probably wondering why I have water. It's because I need a drink. So one moment, please. Really good, thank you. All right, but that's not really why I have the water up here. The water is really up here is because sometimes we get sick and we need some good old-fashioned Alka-Seltzer. All right, and here, no, I'm going somewhere here, okay, so stay with me. You're like the kids guy, he's getting a little off track. No, really, come back with me, we're going to be there. Well, this water right now, it's the same water I drank out of there, tastes great. When I drop this little pill in there of Alka-Seltzer, you can see it beginning to bubble. And it's actually changing what this water is like. It's completely changing everything in there. And so this is what the Spirit does in us. The Spirit permeates all of us. By the way, I wanted to use that word this morning because I teach elementary kids every Sunday morning. And if I said permeates, they'd be like. And so thank you for allowing me to sound a little smarter today. But this Alka-Seltzer permeates. It fills up all of the water. I mean, if I taste this right now. Woo! To tell you that's good would be to lie, right? Okay? But the truth is this, that Alka-Seltzer's in there and it's going to do something for my body. Let me tell you this, when you pray and you choose Jesus, there's real hope. Why? Because his spirit comes and lives in you and it goes through your whole body. It completely changes us. The old is gone and the new is here. Why? Because we are completely changed when we're guided by the Spirit. This word filled was also used in John chapter 12 when Jesus was at his feet was a woman who was with her hair washing his feet with perfume. And it says perfume filled the whole room. That smell filled up the whole room. That's what Jesus' spirit, the spirit of the living God, what he does in us when we allow him to guide us and to direct us. Now, let's be honest here, right? Well, we're talking about some really neat things, and some of you are like, this sounds great. And on a Sunday sitting here, as I sit in these rows, I think, you know, I can get it. I can understand it. I know that if I choose Jesus and I'm guided by him, but you know, real life happens when I walk out the door. Some of you, real life may be happening during this service because you get a text or you get an email or you get a phone call from someone in your family and something is happening that's breaking your heart. And I want to tell you that when we put our real hope in Jesus, there is truly real hope. Because Jesus doesn't promise to take that, whatever that struggle is, whatever that brokenness is, he doesn't promise to take that and take it all away, but he promises that he'll walk through it with us. And I can tell you time and time again in my own life where I've struggled with things or walked through things or there's been brokenness. And because his spirit lives in me, I feel encouragement and strength and peace and hope when it doesn't make sense. And so if you're here this morning and, you know, your marriage is a mess or maybe it's already broken and there's divorce or maybe your kids aren't following Jesus or students, maybe your parents aren't or maybe there's another family member or whatever's going on, maybe there's been abuse. I want to tell you this, that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, that come to me, all of you who are weary and have a heavy load, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me. He didn't say, come to your TV or come to your sports game or come to something else or another relationship. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. We have real hope in Jesus. I challenge you to choose him and allow your life to be guided by the Spirit of God. Why? Because real hope for the family, it starts in me. And it starts in each and every one of us. Well, if we jump back into Ephesians, we're going to notice something in this passage. I don't know if you did or not, but before it talks about husbands and wives, there's a key verse that I skipped. And some of us actually, I think, want to skip this verse. Check this out. Real hope for the family starts by embracing our role, and it starts in this scripture right here. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5:21. We are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Why? Because real hope for the family happens when we embrace our role. Real hope for the family happens when we come with a posture of submission. When we say, you know what, I'm going to submit myself to my wife. I'm going to submit myself, if I'm a child, to my parents. I'm going to submit myself to God, and therefore as a husband, I'm not going to stand up over my wife and tell her how she needs to live her life. I'm going to submit to my Savior, and along with that, with a heart of submission to her as we lead the family. Wives, it's not going to be about trying to trump your husband or make him look stupid or for us as husbands and wives with our kids to just tell them what they need to do. No. It's going to be from a heart of submission, embracing the role that we have in the family. This doesn't mean that you stay in a relationship that's abusive. This doesn't mean that you stay in that kind of situation, but it says that, you know what, I'm going to allow God to work in me and have real hope through whatever I'm walking through. And as I'm able, and as God heals our relationships, I'm going to embrace my role and live it to the fullest extent. So I was working on this message, I was reminded of my dad's story. You see, my dad grew up in a home where they didn't go to church, and there was severe abuse. He both experienced it himself, and also his parents, both abusing each other and other things, and saw some awful things and heard awful things. And in high school, my dad took a step. He went to high school, and someone shared the hope of Jesus with him. And he made a decision in that moment to say, you know what, I'm going to choose Jesus. I'm going to choose real hope. And he chose to change his life in that moment. But you know, there's a second point here, and it says that we need to be guided by the Spirit, right? And so my dad, though, as he walked into his marriage and those things, he didn't deal with everything. There were times where he wasn't willing to talk about the pain and the hurt that he had walked through. And because of that, it wasn't always fun in our home. You see, my dad had cut out a whole lot of the abuse that happened, but mom and dad, man, they would be up fighting until the wee hours of the morning. Then we get up for church on Sunday, and some of you may have experienced this. We'd jump in the car, and they would just be battling back and forth, and then we'd walk in the door. Praise Jesus. And we'd shake hands, and we'd have a smile on our face, and we'd talk about how great God is because he's a good, good father, at least until I get back in the car, and, you know, all of those things. And you know what I'm talking about because some of you live this. And it was a mess. And I remember beginning to pray as an elementary kid that my dad's life would change. And there were times when I have to confess to you, I didn't have real hope that he would ever change. I mean, he's moving into his 60s at that time, and there was no change. And then in 2006, my son Luke, my youngest son, was born, and we were dedicating him and dedicating us, really, as parents and at church. And my dad had driven over from this area because we were living in South Bend, Indiana at the time. And he drove over and he said, Timothy, because that's what he called me. You don't get to do that. Only my parents. But he said, Timothy, I need to talk to you. And I thought, Dad, I got a lot going on. I didn't say this out loud, but I'm thinking, I have so many things to do. Really? Do we really need to talk right now? And he said, I really need to talk to you. And he pulled me aside and he said, Timothy, I have to tell you something. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way you saw me treat your mom. I'm sorry for the way and some of the things that I did raising you, because in my words for this message, he had chosen Jesus but wasn't choosing to be guided by the Spirit. And after 25 years, more than 25 years of prayer, my dad's life radically changed. And now I fast forward 10 years later, and I watch my mom, who's ailing in her health, and I watch my dad beautifully caring for her. I never would have dreamed that 10 years ago. Why? Because my dad found his real hope. And he jumped into a group at church where a pastor and some other people around him shared about the hope of Jesus. And he was able to unfold some of the things and the brokenness that was in his heart and confront that. Because there's real hope for the family. When we choose Jesus, we're guided by them and guided by his Spirit. And we embrace our role. And he embraced his role as a husband. And it's been good to watch. So good to watch. And I wonder this morning, how many of us and which one of you needs that hope this morning? Where maybe you're like my dad, where you need your life changed, where maybe you've taken a step to follow him, but you're not being guided by the Spirit because you've buried some stuff and you're not being the way that you should be in the home. And I wonder how many of you are like I was from childhood through middle school and high school into college, into my married life, into even having children, wondering if my dad's life would ever really change. And then it did. And I wonder how many of you are feeling that hopelessness right now. Can I just breathe encouragement into you this morning? The God that spoke these words in his scripture, the God who raised his son Jesus from the dead, is still alive, and he's still working, and he wants to change you, and he wants to change your family. Here's the thing. Jesus wants to do that. And he wants you to know that the real hope for the family starts in me. It starts in each one of us, but it does not stop there. Real hope for the family starts in me, but then it moves to we. It moves from just my personal relationship with Jesus and my family, and it moves to us as the body of Christ together. Because we must partner together as the church. We must make a decision to say, we're going to work together as families, as leaders, and as people, to partner together. Look at these verses in Romans chapter 12. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, So in Christ, we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We must partner together. We must make a choice to say, I am going to join with this church and make a difference. It's the reason why right now in Grace Kids, right down the hallway, we have a group of people that shared the story of David and Jonathan and their friendship and how valuable that is and how we can show honor to others and why at the end of that they challenge your kids to talk to their group leader about starting a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we value partnering with you. We know that you have more time with your kids than we do. And we want to do everything we can to partner with you. Because we know that if we're going to have real hope for the family, it's going to start in us, and it's going to move to all of us together. I'll never forget a couple weeks ago. A boy, he's a fourth grader in Grace Kids, and we were talking about Joshua and Caleb and how they had to be brave and have courage as they went into the land to take the land. And we said, you know what? You need to have courage to follow Jesus. And we prayed, and this guy, he raised his hand. And after that, he met with his group leader. And we all have a student or an adult that are meeting with your kids, and they have the same group leader every week in there. And he was able to meet with them, and they found out that he really prayed to receive Christ, to choose Jesus for the first time. And every time we do that, we take the opportunity to call parents and let them know about their child that made a decision. And we send a salvation book home, and I called and left a message, and I got an email. And I love these emails from a mom. And she said, thank you for telling me about my son and the decision he made. And she went on to say that they had received that salvation book and that they had already started to go through that book with their son. You see, she made a choice to share Jesus with her son. She was doing that at home, and she said, you know what, I'm going to bring my son to Grace Kids because I know he's going to hear about Jesus. And then he did, and he gave his life to Jesus here, and we continued to partner together as we gave some resources that now the family is walking through. We're better together. Life is better together when we choose to go from just me and to move to we. It's why in Grace Students at 10:15, there's a young lady named Rain. And I remember Rain because when I was the high school director a couple of years ago, she was in our group, and she was going through some heartbreak, and she walked away from Jesus, and it broke my heart. I hadn't heard from her for a couple of years, and I heard Billy talking, our student pastor, and Billy was talking about Rain being baptized, and she was going to be baptized. And I was so excited because I knew that her parents had been praying. And I knew that she had come back to a place where we could partner with the family. And she would hear large group teaching on Sunday nights. She'd have the opportunity to get in a group and grow in her faith. She'd have the opportunity to go to something like Kalahari and to continue to walk. Why? Because we want to partner with you. Because we are the church. We've never been more encouraged than now about what God is doing. So as we bring this message to a close and we talk about real hope, I realize that some of you, as I said before, may not have hope. If you right now actually would grab your response card out of your worship program, I'd encourage you to do that. And I wonder this morning if there are some of you who say, you know what? I haven't even accepted that real hope in my heart yet. I haven't lived out Romans chapter 10, where I confess that Jesus is Lord, he's in charge, and I believe in my heart that he rose from the dead and therefore are saved. And I'm wondering, what's stopping you now? What's stopping you from right now making a step to have true hope and to walk from darkness to light and to choose Jesus right now? And I want to challenge you to do that. Will you all bow your heads with me? And maybe you're someone who's in this room right now and you're thinking, you know what? I don't have real hope yet, but I want it. And maybe you're thinking, I do believe in Jesus and I believe that he died for me and I want him to run my life. Then if that's you, I'm going to ask you right now to pray and to choose Jesus through prayer right now and to put him in charge of your life so you can have real hope. If that's you, would you pray with me right now and just say, Dear Jesus, I know that I've done things that are wrong. I need hope. I put my trust in Jesus because you died for me and you rose again. Please forgive me for the things I've done wrong and give me a hope that'll last forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that right now, you can open your eyes. If you prayed that, would you write down the word hope in the box? Because we need to know about that decision, and we want to celebrate it with you and connect with you this week just to let you know that we're praying for you in this journey of hope. Some of you, though, relate well to what I talked about earlier, and you need help, and you may need prayer this morning. And if you're one of those people who you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, my marriage is a mess, or I don't have hope in what's going on with my parents or a different family member, or there's a brokenness in your heart, will you simply write down on that card the word prayer? Because we want to pray for you. And we'll pray for you this week, and we'll connect with you to find out how we can best pray for you. But we don't want it to stop there in our connections. With Billy, with students, and for me, with kids, we want to make sure that we are connecting with families and anyone in the church who wants to connect. And if you want to hear more about what God's doing, if you want to hear more about what's happening in Grace Kids and Grace Students, then I just ask you to write down on your card, GK email or GS email or both, if you'd like to receive an email from Grace Kids or Grace Students. And that'll give you just some things that we're talking about. It'll talk about upcoming things like Kalahari, things that we're doing in Grace Kids, and then also WorcesterGrace.org/kids. We're starting a blog to help encourage and challenge parents. We want to partner with you. And I want to say this as we get ready to close. If you wrote down hope or you wrote down help and prayer, I'm going to tell you, I want you to not just leave that card at the end of your row. I want you to bring it up to the front this morning. When we're done and Billy is done and with our closing words, I would like you to come up. There are going to be some people up front who will pray with you. Because why wait till tomorrow? Start today celebrating that life change if it's hope or getting that help, and let someone pray with you this morning. Because there's real hope in the family when we allow God to change us and we partner together as the church. Let's pray. God, we love you. We are so thankful that we have real hope when we choose to follow you. God, I pray that everyone in this room, myself included, that we would choose you, that we would choose to be guided by your Spirit, that we'd embrace our role in the family, and that we would work to partner together as the family and the church to see what kind of life change can happen in us and in our families. God, we so love you and are grateful for all that you're doing in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.